In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The most wicked king of the northern kingdom of Israel, after the kingdom was divided, was King Ahab. If you read the book of 2 Kings, you'll find that all the wicked kings of Israel after him were compared to him. They would say that they followed in the footsteps of Ahab. Ahab wasn't so much evil by conviction as he was evil by indifference to truth and righteousness. His wife Jezebel, on the other hand, was evil by conviction. She was a Phoenician princess from Tyre who became the queen of Israel by marrying Ahab, and she was devoted to the worship of Baal and sought to eradicate the worship of the God of Israel and replace it with the worship of Baal. Baal was the Canaanite and Phoenician god of rain and fertility, and they would worship Baal by engaging in ritual prostitution, which was designed to incite the lust of the god, and so therefore to make him want to be fertile with the earth. And also they engaged in child sacrifice because they believed that that was a way of expressing their devotion to their god by sacrificing even their children. And so this evil spread across the land, and she sought to kill all the prophets of God wherever she found them. We ought to be able to relate to that time. We're not all the way there, but I'd say we're more than halfway there now. We don't have ritual prostitution, but we glorify all kinds of perversity. We've changed the definition of marriage as a nation, which I don't believe happened even under Baal worship. And we sacrifice our children. We don't do it to the god Baal, but we sacrifice our children to the god of convenience. We killed more than 1 million babies each year in this country, and we've just recently seen videos showing the ghoulish behavior of Planned Parenthood, which is the biggest provider of abortions in America and is funded by your dollars, your taxpayer dollars go to support them and enable them to do that. So God raised up the prophet Elijah to stand against Ahab and Jezebel. We're told in 1 Kings or 3 Kingdoms in your Orthodox Study Bible, chapter 17, verse 1, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these 3 years, but according to my word." The prophet Elijah's very name was a defiant statement against those who were unfaithful to the worship of the God of Israel. His name means, "My God is Yah," which is the short form of Yahweh, or in other words, "My God is the Lord, the God of Israel." The Holy Land is a very dry place, and it's dependent upon a regular cycle of rains, which doesn't always come. At least it doesn't always come very fully, but in this case, there was more than 3 years of drought. Unlike Egypt and Mesopotamia, who have great rivers that never run dry, their agriculture wasn't based on irrigation, it was based on rain, and so if the rain didn't come, the crops didn't grow. And so worshiping a god that would promise to bring rain had a great appeal to your average peasant farmer. But the prophet Elijah demonstrated by shutting up the heavens at the word of the Lord that Baal was a false god. Because if God, the Lord, could stop it from raining for 3 years, obviously Baal had no power to say anything to the contrary. And it was only at the word of the prophet Elijah that that drought would come to an end. So after 3 years and 6 months, as it says in the gospel that we just heard, and after which many of the people starved to death, fields lay waste, animals were dying, streams dried up, the Lord finally said to Elijah, "Go show yourself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And when the prophet Elijah found Ahab, he found him foraging in the countryside, trying to find some place where there was still some grass for his animals so that they would not all die. That's the low state that even the king himself was brought to by this drought. And we're told in 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning with verse 17, "And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam," which that's Hebrew, Balaam is plural of the Baals, because there was more than one Baal that they worshiped, but there was a primary Baal that they worshiped. But it's interesting that Ahab says, you're the one that's troubling Israel. And the Hebrew word that's used there is the same word that refers to Achan, who, contrary to what God had commanded the people of Israel, took some loot from Jericho when it was destroyed, and he brought down judgment upon the whole nation. And so basically Ahab was saying, you're bringing ruin upon the whole nation. But it wasn't Elijah that was bringing ruin, it was Ahab and his wife and their evil deeds. But it's often the case that when calamity comes, when judgment comes, that those who are evil will blame those that are pronouncing God's judgment and trying to explain to them why it's coming and what they can do to avoid it. The prophet Elijah continued and he said, now therefore ascend and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long wilt thou halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Mount Carmel is right next to the modern city of Haifa, which is right on the coast of the modern state of Israel. And the prophet Elijah says, how long will you halt between two opinions? What he means by the word halt there is you're bouncing back and forth between these two opinions. You think that you can worship the Lord and hedge your bets, and you also think that you can worship Baal to make sure that it rains. You have to go one way or the other. You can't have both. As St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21, you can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You can't be a partaker of the Lord's table and the table of demons. You can't have it both ways. You can't dabble in false religions. You can't check your horoscopes and go by astrology and still consider yourself to be a Christian. You can't go around sleeping with your girlfriend or your boyfriend when you're not married and still consider yourself to be a Christian. You can't live a life of immorality. You can't view pornography. You can't support the slaughter of 1.5 million babies each year in this country. There's just certain things that you can't do and call yourself a Christian. These are obvious things. They're things that we know that we're not supposed to do, and these are things that we, in many cases, go ahead and think we can do, but we're somehow going to make it okay. Before the end, we'll ask God's forgiveness, and it'll all be okay. No, we need to serve God now. We have to choose this day whom we will serve. Then, beginning with verse 22, it says, then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men, and the prophets of the grove 400. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it into pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So he let the prophets of Baal go first. He even let them choose which bullock that they would sacrifice. And he let them go from morning until noon, and they kept crying, O Baal, hear us. But there wasn't any answer. And then, as it became later in the day, it says they leaped upon the altar. They were dancing around, trying to get their God's attention. And since their God was a God of rain and of thunder, it should have been pretty easy for him to send a lightning bolt down and to set that offering ablaze, but nothing happened. And then, beginning with verse 27, it says, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is engaged in some business, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awaked. And they cried aloud, and they cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancelets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regarded. And so finally, these prophets of Baal are exhausted. They're bloodied. Nothing happened. And then it says, beginning with verse 30, and Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people drew near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it out upon the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, do it a third time, and they did it the third time. And water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. The prophet Elijah wanted to make it very clear to the people that this wasn't some trickery on his part. This wasn't just going to be some fortuitous coincidence that that wood would catch fire because maybe it was really dry. 4 barrels of water poured on it 3 times in a row. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And all the people saw it, and they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And he took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now some people, when they hear about the prophet Elijah killing all these prophets, might say, well, that's awfully harsh. That doesn't seem very Christian to do such a thing. But keep in mind, number one, in the Old Testament, there was the death penalty for a false prophet. And these prophets had proven themselves false by declaring their faith in a deity that had been proved false. But also, these same prophets engaged in child sacrifice. These people had the blood of innocent children on their hands, and the prophet Elijah made sure that they wouldn't be around to do it anymore. And after this, he went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and it says that he prayed 7 times in a row, and he kept asking his servant to go and check, look over out into the sea to see if he could see anything. And finally, after the 7th time, he saw that there was a cloud the size of a man's hand that was dark. And then he sent word to Ahab, you better get in your chariot and start heading to Jezreel because the rain is going to overtake you. And before he knew it, the sky turned dark and the rain began. And there's a lot more that we can say about the prophet Elijah. I can't sum up his life in one sermon without it being a whole lot longer than most of you would be very happy with. But suffice it to say that he prophesied the destruction of the house of Ahab, and it happened exactly as he said it would. He also anointed Jehu, who was the king who took the place of Ahab's successor. And he called the prophet Elisha to take his place before he was taken up into heaven in a fiery chariot. He also appeared with the prophet Moses and Christ glorified on Mount Tabor. And we're told by tradition that he will also appear before Christ returns. But the message of the prophet Elijah to those of his time and to us in our time is that you can't have it both ways. You have to either serve the Lord or serve the devil, but you can't serve both. And so let us say with the prophet that my God is the Lord, and serve him faithfully, and slay the false prophets of the demons in our hearts, which are the passions. Amen.